Chapter 5. We twain hearts caught in one catastrophe, and stranded souls a common strait wakes latencies unknown, whose impulse may precipitate a lifelong leap. The hour was late, and there was the Jersey boat with its funnel agroan. As wary walking worth much pother? It grunted, as still it stayed. Knee pairing is as good as another where all is venture. Take each other, and scrap the oaths that you of aforetime made. Of the four involved there walks, but one on earth at this late day. And what of the chapter so begun? And that odd complex what was done? Well, happiness comes in full to none. Let peace lie on lulled lips. I will not say. Weymouth. A gentleman's epitaph on himself and a lady, who were buried together. I dwelt in the shade of a city, she far by the sea, with folk perhaps good, gracious, witty, but never with me. Her form on the ballroom's smooth flooring I never once met, to guide her with accents adoring through Weepert's erst set. 1. I spent my life's seasons with pale ones in Vanity Fair, and she enjoyed hers among hale ones in salt-smelling air. Maybe as he had eyes of deep color, maybe they were blue, maybe as she aged they got duller, that never I knew. She may have had lips like the coral, but I never kissed them, saw pouting, nor curling in quarrel, nor sought for, nor missed them. Not a word passed of love all our lifetime, between us, nor thrill, we'd never a husband and wife time, for good or for ill. Yet as one dust, through bleak days and vernal, lie I and lies she, this never known lady, eternal companion to me. The old gown song. I have seen her in gowns the brightest, of azure, green, and red, and in the simplest, whitest, muslin from heel to head. I have watched her walking, riding, shade flecked by a leafy tree, or in fixed thought abiding by the foam-fingered sea. In woodlands I have known her, when boughs were mourning loud, and the rain reek as he has shown her wild-haired and watery browed. And once or twice as he has cast me as she pomped along the street court clad, ere quite as he had passed me, a glance from her chariot seat. But in my memoried passion forevermore stands she in the gown of fading fashion she wore that night when we, doomed long to part, assembled in the snug small room. Yea, when she sang with lips that trembled, all I see is face again. A night in November, I marked when the weather changed, and the panes began to quake, and the winds rose up and ranged, that night, lying half awake. Dead leaves blew into my room, and alighted upon my bed, and a tree declared to the gloom its sorrow, that they were shed. One leaf of them touched my hand, and I thought that it was you there stood as you used to stand, and saying at last you knew. (1913) A duetist to her pianoforte song of silence E50. H. H. C. H. Since every sound moves memories, how can I play you just as I might, if you raised no scene, by your ivory rose, of a form between my vision and your time-worn sheen, as when each day you answered our fingers with ecstasy? So it's hushed, 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 you are for me. And as I am doomed to counter chord or notes no more in those old things I used to know, in a fashion, when we practiced so, good night. Goodbye. To your pleated show of silk, now whore, each nodding hammer, and pedal and key, for dead, 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 you are to me. I fain would second her, strike to her stroke, as when she was by, I, even from the ancient, clamorous, all of Paris, or Adel of Prague with Al, to the oving minstrels, or Ufin call sung soft as a sigh. But a ping ghosts press achefully, and mute, 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 you are for me. Should I fling your polyphones, plaints, and quavers afresh on the air, too quick would the small white shapes be here of the fellow twain of hands so dear, and a black tressed profile, and pale smooth ear, then how shall I bear such heavily haunted harmony? Nay, hushed, hushed, hushed you are for me. Where three roads joined, it was green and fair, and over a gate was the sun-glazed sea, and life laughed sweet when I halted there, yet there I never again would be. I am sure those branchways are brooding now, with a wistful blankness upon their face, while the few mute passengers notice how specter-beridden is the place, which nightly sighs like a laden soul, and grieves that a pair, in bliss for a spell not far from thence, should have let it roll away from them down a plumbless well, while the phasm of him who fared starts up, and of her who was waiting him sobs from near, as they haunt there and drink the wormwood cup they filled for themselves, when their sky was clear. Yes, I see those roads now rutted and bare, while over the gate is no sun-glazed sea. And though life laughed when I halted there, it is where I never again would be. And there was a great calm on the signing of the armistice, November 11, 1918. I, there had been years of passion scorching, cold, and much despair, and anger heaving high, care whitely watching, sorrows manifold, among the young, among the weak and old, and the pensive spirit of pity whispered, why? Two men had not paused to answer. Foes distraught pierced the thin peoples in a brute-like blindness, philosophies that sages long had taught, and selflessness, were as an unknown thought, and hell, were yapped at loving-kindness. Three, the feeble folk at home, had grown full used to ugouts, snipers, Huns, from the war adept in the mornings heard, and at eventides perused. Today dreamt men in millions, when they mused to nightmare men in millions when they slept. IV, waking to wish existence timeless, null, serious they watched above where armies fell. He seemed to check his flapping when, in the lull of night a boom came thencewise, like the dull plunge of a stone dropped into some deep well. V, so, when old hopes, that earth was bettering slowly were dead and damned, there sounded, R is done. One more, said the bereft, and meek, and lowly, will men someday be given to grace? Yea, holy, and in good sooth, as our dreams used to run? Why, breathless they paused. Out there men raised their glance to where had stood those poplars lank and lopped, as they had raised it through the 4 years' dance of death in the now familiar flats of France, and murmured, strange, this. How? All firing stopped? Why, aye, all was hushed. The about to fire fired not, the aim that moved away in translipped song. One checkless regiment slung a clinching shot and turned. The spirit of irony smirked out, what? Spoil peradventures woven of rage and wrong? Thenceforth no flying fires inflamed the gray, no hurtlings shook the dewdrop from the thorn, no moan perplexed the mute bird on the spray, worn horses mused. E are not whipped today, no weft-winged engines blurred the moon's thin horn. X, calm fell. From heaven distilled a clemency, there was peace on earth, and silence in the sky, some could not, shake off misery. The sinister spirit sneered. T had to be. And again the spirit of pity whispered, why? Haunting fingers of fantasy in a museum of musical instruments. Re you awake, comrades. This silent night? Well, twere if all of our glossy glue a make lay in the damp without, and fell to fragments quite. Vile, my friend, I watch, though phosphor nears, and I fain would drowse away to its utter end this dumb dark stowage after our loud melodious ears. And they felt past handlers clutch them, though none was in the room, old players' dead fingers touch them, shrunk in the tomb. Cello, good mate, you speak my mind as yours. Doomed to this voiceless, crippled, corpse-like state, who, dear to famed Amphion, trapped here, long endures? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.